Now, on the 13th of June, in the middle of the 18th century, Francis Burney was born. That's Francis with an E.
Francis with an E?
Yes. In other words, Miss Francis Burney, otherwise known as Fanny. Her father was a famed Dr. Burney, he was known as. He was the great musicologist, the great expert on the history of music in the 18th century. And her brother, I believe also a Charles, was a classical scholar who edited Aeschylus. The family were friends with the great Dr. Johnson, and so she grew up in not only in affluent circumstances, but very cultivated circumstances. And the 18th century was a pretty wild time. You know, we think of it as very neoclassical and very staid, but it was very, well, the word raunchy comes to mind.
Raunchy?
When the lights went out or when you...
They're prim and proper. They all wear nice clothes.
Yeah,
and
they weren't prim or proper. That
really?
Comes a little later. But anyway, so she wrote her first novel, Evelina, which is one of the funniest novels in the English language.
Evelina.
It's about a nice young girl. And of course, everywhere she goes, somebody's pinching her or trying to feel, get there. She's a lot like Jane Austen, but Jane Austen walking through a raunchy world.
Sounds pretty dirty. Is this dirty?
No. Far from it. It's a very moral and proper book, but it does portray in realistic terms the kind of stuff women have to put up with when they're in that kind of society. But also,
Really? Also,
she was not exactly the kind of girl who didn't appreciate attention. I'm not saying being fondled.
Okay.
But she waited till she was 40 to get married. She married a French general.
Wow.
And
That seems kind of old for that time, right?
Yeah, it is. Twice too old, but what happened that's strange is after her death, people started finding her diaries. And so for a long time, people have been reading her diaries and journals and things rather than her novels because she really gives a graphic, upfront, clear portrait of what life is like. She grew up in these wonderful circles, so she knew a lot of people. And I have only looked at the diaries, but I've read most of her novels. Evelina is by far the best, but she's a good writer. And people say, well, Fanny Burney's been forgotten because she's a woman. No, Fanny Burney's forgotten because almost all our good writers are forgotten because we live in an illiterate world.
Illiterate.
But if anybody wants to read a really good novel by a woman that's not a woman's novel, not a chick book, read Evelina.
Well, 1946, jumping up on the 14th as well. He is the current president of the United States, Donald Trump, the Don. But without going into total detail about who and what and all that, I have two questions. The first one is, why is he so popular? That's the first question.
He's so popular with about 45% of the population because they look upon him as the first politician in their lifetime elected to the presidency who actually stands up for the principles that they believe in and who stands up for the interest of the American people. Now, there have been politicians, and I'm about to talk about one of them, fighting Bob La Follette in the teens and 20s, George Wallace in the 60s, Pat Buchanan. There have been presidential candidates, usually for minor parties, who have been interested in the fate of the American people, but not George W. Bush, not George H.W. Bush, not Ronald Reagan, not Bill Clinton, none of them. None of them is worth a nickel as far as I'm concerned, and none of them had the guts to stand up to the destructive regime, which consists of media, university, the economic regime, all of these things working together to destroy the American middle class. Donald Trump, no matter what kind of idiot he is, and he certainly acts like an idiot most of the time, but he is somebody who does occasionally get the job done and does stand up to the powers that be. That's
now,
why they
for
love
a second,
him.
let's linger in Seattle because you said that he does not need the mayors nor the governor's permission to do, what did you call it, an insurrection?
Yeah, the Insurrection Act of 1807, and it's been modified a couple of times.
So he could bring in troops or just National
yes.
Guard?
All he has to do, no, he can bring in both troops and National
Anytime
Guard.
Anytime he wants.
All he has to publish his intention and give put them on warning.
That's it, and then he could bring it in, and he could end all the whole...
I think it's been done 19 times. But I'll give you an example of what's supposed to be done. In the early 19th century, the Mormons came to Nauvoo, Illinois, and they set up a Mormon colony.
Okay.
And at some point, they worked out a deal with a corrupt governor of the state that they could have sort of home rule, self-government, like Chaz in Seattle.
Chaz.
So they blocked off the roads going in and out of Nauvoo. If a sheriff of the next county or somebody came to serve a writ, like you owe me money for that horse you bought,
okay.
they wouldn't let the writ be served. Illinois at that time had a treason law. So the new governor invoked the treason law, and they arrested Joe Smith and his brother, and they brought them to Carthage Courthouse nearby, from which they were lynched, probably for their predatory behavior toward young farm girls.
Oh.
They were, shall we say, informally practicing the not-yet-revealed truth of polygamy.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, but the point is, you don't let people simply declare themselves an independent republic. And they don't have a government. They weren't elected by anybody. Mm. They're not local taxpayers. They're just riffraff that's collected. Now, while this is going on, to the applause and approval of the media in the United States and of the left and of the Democratic Party, in the Southeast, from Washington to Louisiana, what's happening, they're tearing down the statues of people who, representing democratically elected governments from the legislatures, exercising their constitutional right to withdraw from a union that had become uncomfortable, and we tear down the statue of Robert E. Lee or Jefferson Davis, who did nothing morally or legally wrong, and at the same time, we celebrate this hole-in-the-wall gang of pirates and bandits in Seattle.
It's a crazy, mixed-up world. Is Donald Trump going to win the election?
I don't know. It's I will say this. Don't believe the polls at all, because the more we have these riots, the more the lower middle classes and the working classes, the more they figure he's all they got, because Joe Biden is out of the question.
Yeah.
He's from a different universe. Called Crookland. Okay. On the 14th, Robert M. La Follette.
Who?
Robert M. La Follette, fighting Bob La Follette. Bob La Follette, when he was a young man in southern Wisconsin, wanted to run for like county treasurer, just some little thing.
Okay.
The local Republican party official said, it's not your turn, Bob. You wait your turn. We'll tell you when you can run. Well, this is corruption. So he got angry, and he ended up entering politics very vigorously. And he was known as a progressive. Now, in Wisconsin, they think progressive means Marxist. No. In fact, Bob La Follette was pro-Main Street business. He was in favor of the little guy all over the state. He believed in paying taxes. He believed in a lot of things which every normal American believed in.
Yeah.
But he believed that the power of big money, that is in the form of the railroads and the big utilities, that they had all this money. And in the case of the railroads, they got all their money because the corrupt Senate and Congress of the United States gave them land across the United States.
Right.
They then sold the land for development. And then with some of the profits, they bought legislatures. They could set whatever rates they wanted.
Wow.
They could engage in whatever corrupt practices they wanted. And the progressives believe you can't buy the country, especially when you're buying it with money you got from selling land that didn't belong to you. It belonged to the people of the United States. He opposed entry into World War I, quite rightly. It was a stupid war for us to get into. The University of Wisconsin faculty denounced him. So he, after the end of his Senate term, he got elected governor in order to punish the University of Wisconsin. God bless this heroic man.
Wow.
He ran for president, I think, in 24 with Burton Wheeler as his vice president. Burt Wheeler was known as one of the wild, wild jackasses of the West.
Oh.
These progressives were wild people. They were not in favor of big government. They were opposed to big business and big capital.
I see.
One of them, one of my favorites, so Senator William Borah of Idaho, said when asked about, didn't he support Franklin Roosevelt, didn't he support the idea that you'll use the government to tame big business?
Right.
And he said, monopoly government and monopoly capital are whelps from the same kennel. In other words, what these people understood is that big business and big government are run by the same corrupt degenerate class that also, of course, now controls Hollywood, the media. It's one big happy elite that has all the power and doesn't want to share it with anybody.
Clear out the swamp! Clear out the swamp! Yeah. On the 15th, he was born. Now, I think the best thing that this guy ever did, because I never particularly cared for him, and I thought he was way overblown. Like, everybody's like, oh, he's so great. And I thought, he's so mediocre. But the best thing he ever did, and probably the best thing he did for his career, is play bass for Buddy Holly. You know who the guy is?
Well, Waylon Jennings, he's lucky. He got real lucky playing bass. One night in Iowa, they decided to rent a plane, even though there was bad weather. And at the last minute, they kicked Waylon Jennings off the flight in order to make room for the big bopper. And so that was the day the music died. The plane wreck. My sister had seen Buddy Holly the night before in Duluth, Minnesota.
Wow.
And so, two nights before. So, of course, being a teenage girl, this meant constant mourning and tragedy.
Yes.
For as long as it affected her, which must have been about an hour. As a former headmaster of a high school, believe me, if there's one thing you don't want to witness, it's the phony tears of an adolescent girl. you know, Waylon was interesting. I didn't like that whole outlaw shtick, and I use a Yiddish expression advisedly because it's all PR. And David Allen Coe. My name is David Allen Coe, and I'm from Texas. He wasn't from Texas.
Oh.
The whole thing, you know, we're rebels against the Nashville establishment.
It's popular.
It's very tedious. Willie was a talented songwriter, and Waylon was a talented performer. You know, one of his biggest hits, it's pretty funny, is I'm going back to Leukenbach, Texas with Waylon, Willie. He looked at the song, he said, I'm not singing that. That's self-glorifying. It's embarrassing. It's stupid. His manager said, Waylon, you're going to sing that song. They both got a lot of money out of it.
Yeah.
My favorite Waylon story, I never met Waylon, although I've been to Leukenbach, Texas.
Oh, well, there you go.
A very nice man. His wife was the daughter of Hondo Crouch, who bought Leukenbach, Texas for a fairly small sum and turned it into a sort of country music bar, dance hall, everything, so it became a big venue. I have a friend who used to live in lives in Franklin, Tennessee, and his kids were at a nice prep school in Nashville, and I was asking him about this. And he said, well, you know, they have some strange people there because of, you know, the Grand Ole Opry and the country music business.
Yeah.
He said, I went to a parents' meeting, and he said, my sons have a friend named Shooter. I thought it was a nickname. Can you believe anybody would name their child Shooter? Then I met the parents. Whoa. And I said, well, who's the parent? And he said, Waylon something. I said, you met Waylon Jennings and you're complaining?
Oh, well, I don't. To me, it's no big deal.
I know. A lot of people would pay more than a quarter to meet Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, well, speaking of money, he took probably most of it to the tune of what they said, $1,500 a day, and was doing cocaine.
Yeah.
He lost, I think it was $1.5 or $2.5 million, brought that down to barely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
an idiot.
A total idiot. But he did clean himself up. And kind of had a little bit of a comeback, which I respect.
When he was doing the Farm Aid concerts, I remember I wrote a little piece way back that it was good to see Waylon looking healthy again.
There you go.
Stop the world and let me off. I'm tired of going round and round. I played the game of love and lost. So stop the world.